This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Amina wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima alimtana wa zidina ilma. We begin by thanking and praising Allah, and we beseech Him to shower our beloved messenger with compliments and salutations. We ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us and to allow us to benefit from what He has taught us and to increase us in beneficial knowledge. As to what follows, we will carry on where we left off. We have been reading some selected narrations from the book of Ash-Shama'il, or Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, by the hadith scholar Imam al-Tirmidhi. And this is a text which compiles narrations organized into chapters that refers to the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, physical description and mannerisms and behaviors and whatnot. And the last chapter that we did 2 weeks ago was chapter number 36, was it? 35, F1. Chapter number 35, and it was discussing بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي ضَحِكِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. It was when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would express happiness and joy, and how he would do so, laughing or smiling. How was the laughter? Did the Prophet laugh out loud with a sound? We discussed that. We said no, he did not, but rather it was a big smile. Sometimes it was, the norm was the Prophet would be smiling, and then sometimes the smile would be so broad that his back teeth would show, which means it was a big smile. And we mentioned different narrations and different instances where something was mentioned or something happened and the Prophet ﷺ reacted with that emotion of joy, of happiness. So continuing to chapter number 36, which is related. Chapter number 36 is بَابُ مَا جَاءَ فِي صِفَةِ مِزَاحِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The chapter that discusses how the Prophet would joke, the kinds of jokes or that he would say, or funny things that he would do or say. And so did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ever tell jokes or do any kind of joking, humorous statements or actions? And the answer is yes. And that's really a component of human interaction and human behavior and expression. And some people, you know, based on different personalities, for some people their personality leans more towards seriousness, and some people their personality leans more towards humor and jest. And people differ in their characteristics and their personality traits and whatnot. The Prophet ﷺ was balanced. He was moderate. So the Prophet ﷺ was not excessive in joking and in laughter. The Prophet was not joking and making jokes all day, every single day. But the Prophet also was not someone who was grumpy or who was frowning. The Prophet ﷺ was moderate, was balanced in his expressions. But did the Prophet ﷺ ever express something funny or humorous? And the answer is yes, he did. So let's see some examples of that. And let's see how the Prophet would express jokes and humor. And let's see some examples of that from the life of the Prophet ﷺ. So we'll see the narrations that Imam al-Tirmidhi recorded for us in his book in chapter number 36. قال الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله تعالى باب ما جاء في صفة مزاح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. بسم الله. قال حدثنا محمود بن غيلان قال حدثنا أبو أسامة عن شريك عن عاصم الأحول عن أنس بن مالك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له يا ذا الأذنين. In this first narration, and usually don't go into too much detail into the narrators, but there is an interesting narrator here that I will mention something about. This hadith is on the authority of the companion Anas ibn Malik, and he says that the Prophet ﷺ said to Anas ibn Malik, he called out to him, and he called out to him by يَا ذَا الْأُذُنَيْنِ, which in Arabic means the one who has two ears. If you literally translate it, the one who has two ears. And nobody laughed at that, because it's not, doesn't seem like it's that funny. And sometimes when you translate things, it kills the humor. But here we have an example of the Prophet ﷺ speaking to Anas ibn Malik. And Anas ibn Malik, in the company of the Messenger, was a young boy. And he spent quite a significant amount of time with the Prophet ﷺ. So in this narration, we see that the Messenger referred to him in a kind of joking manner. Come here, two ears. Like something like that. Imagine if you call someone like that. Now the Prophet did not mock his ears. And it was a correct thing. Does Anas ibn Malik have two ears? Yes, he did. And it was not something that was insulting, but it was endearing. It was kind of like something like cute. Like, come here, one of two ears. And so that was an example of that. Now, in the Arabic language, in that culture, that would be something humorous. And you would call someone like that. Now, this particular narration actually has some weakness in it. And actually, the reason why it has some weakness is interesting. In the chain of narration from the scholar Imam at-Tirmidhi, who recorded it, until the actual companion who is reported to have heard it from the Messenger of Allah, we have a few names. We have someone by the name of, in that chain of narration, we have someone called Mahmud ibn Ghaylan, who says that he heard from Abu Usama, who says that he heard from Shariq, who heard from Asim al-Ahwal, who heard it from Anas ibn Malik. So there are five people between Imam at-Tirmidhi and the Messenger of Allah. Four people between Imam at-Tirmidhi and the Sahabi, the companion. Now the scholars of the hadith, I just want to take this tangent so we can appreciate the science of hadith. So we can appreciate the science of narrations and chains of narration and how the scholars dissected each individual in the chain. So when the scholars looked at this chain, they said there is some weakness in this narration. Why? They said because this link number three, so we said Mahmud ibn Ghaylan from Abu Usama, from Shariq, from Asim, from Anas. So we have five people in this chain between Imam al-Tirmidhi and the Prophet ﷺ. So they said this person number three, whose name is Shariq, they said this person is a weak narrator. But when we look into the biographies, we see that this is someone who is a notable scholar and is praiseworthy. But I want you to appreciate how meticulous the scholars of hadith were in dissecting and grading narrators and narrations. They said this person, Shariq, was a great scholar of Islam and a great narrator of hadith. But they say, we look at who he's narrating from and who narrated from him, before him and after him. And based on that, we can deduce what time period in his life this narration took place. And from looking at this narration, we see that this was later in his life. And so the scholars of hadith said, Shariq is an authentic narrator in the beginning of his years of narrating. But as we came to the later years of his adulthood, he became a weak narrator. How? Because they said in the early days of his narration, he was entirely devoted to the study and the transmission of hadith, of narrations of the Prophet ﷺ. After some time, ulliya al-qada. After some time, he was appointed as a judge. The ruler at that time imposed upon him, appointed him to be a judge in the court. And a judge has a very difficult job. They are constantly hearing cases and settling and arbitrating, mediating, settling quarrels between people, etc. It's a very difficult job. So they say, when he فَلَمَّا اشْتَغَلَ بِالْقَضَاءِ ضَعُفَ فِي الرِّوَايَةِ. He started making, when he became so busy as a judge, then there started being some discrepancies in his narrations. So they said that the grading of this hadith is weak. It is not unacceptable to narrate. And there is a lesson that can be extracted from it. But I just wanted to take that tangent so we can appreciate how meticulous. Now, after all of this arduous inspection and effort, then people come to you now and they say, we don't accept hadith. After all of this meticulous and arduous centuries work of documented research, scientifically dating who met who, where, and from what time to what time, and how they were in their life. Oh, great scholar, trustworthy. Oh, no, hold on. Great scholar and trustworthy, fine. but meticulous in hadith only in this period of time. Later, was too busy to be careful about wording of hadith and narrations. Wow! How meticulous and careful that is. Then somebody comes, does not do any study of hadith, doesn't give any appreciation to the centuries of scholastic effort, and says, I don't accept hadith. And that's really troubling. So next time somebody tells you that, tell them, don't even tell them anything, just walk away. The next narration. حدثنا هناد بن السري قال حدثنا وكيع عن شعبة عن أبي التياح عن أنس بن مالك قال إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يخالطنا حتى يقول لأخ لي صغير يا أبا عمير ما فعل النغير. So this is an authentic narration, and the chain of narration is strong and authentic. And in this narration, also on the authority of Anas ibn Malik, how much time did he get to spend with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Amazing. So Anas ibn Malik says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would interact and mix with us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mixing. لا يخالطنا. The Prophet was with the Sahaba, living with them, eating with them, going with them, going to the marketplace, traveling with them, talking, teaching, correcting, and even sometimes joking as well. So he said the Prophet ﷺ would mix with us until, you know, so much so, he was so part of the fabric of our community, so much so that he said to a younger brother of mine, little boy, he said to him, Ya Aba Umair. He gave him a nickname. And Umair is a way of, it's like an endearing and a cute way of saying Umar. You know how you give someone a nickname? Can you give me some examples? Huh? Something common. What do you guys do when someone changes your name so it's like kind of cute? Huh? So for, okay, there you go. So someone's name is Ahmed Muhammad. They come and say, Ahmoudi, you know, they're like, so, and then he turns 12 years old and he's like, don't call me that. You know? Maybe, you know, somebody, our brother is named David. Maybe somebody came and said, hey, Davy, you know, right? Did they ever call you that when you were little? He's like, no, they still call me that. No, I'm joking. The idea is sometimes you refer to someone by a nickname. It's an endearing way. It's a way of showing love. It's a way of showing love. So the Prophet is referring to this young boy, Aba Umair, oh, father of Umair. And he says, what happened to your little birdie? Because the boy had a little bird that he used to play with. And he gave the bird a name, Al-Nughayr, and it rhymed with the nickname that he gave him. Oh, Aba Umair, what happened to your little bird, Nughayr? Now, if you've noticed, we're about halfway, a little bit more than halfway through this book. If you've noticed, Imam At-Tirmidhi generally does not give commentary on the hadith. Generally speaking, his style of work in this book is he compiles the narrations. In this hadith, we find him, and a few times he does this, but not much. In this hadith, we find one of those instances where he broke his pattern and his norm, and he actually gave some commentary on the hadith. And so Imam At-Tirmidhi says, قَالَ أَبُو عِيسَى. أَبُو عِيسَى is Imam At-Tirmidhi. قَالَ أَبُو عِيسَى وَفِقْهُ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ كَانَ يُمَازِحُ وَفِيهِ أَنَّهُ كَنَّا غُلَامًا صَغِيرًا فقال له يا أبا عمير وفيه أنه لا بأس أن يعطى الصبي الطيرة ليلعب به وإنما قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا عمير ما فعل النغير لأنه كان له نغير يلعب به فمات فحزن الغلام عليه فمازحه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا أبا عمير ما فعل النغير عليه الصلاة والسلام. So Imam At-Tirmidhi says, and from the benefits, from the lessons that we extract from this hadith, and he mentions one after another. And by the way, the scholar of hadith, there's a great, great scholar of hadith, his name is Ibn Hajar. Ibn Hajar is the one that wrote the most famous commentary on the collection of Bukhari, of hadith. In the library of Islamic books, his book is like legendary. It's huge. It's like super, very important. So Ibn Hajar was a huge, huge scholar in the history of Islam, specifically of the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Hajar quotes another scholar, a Shafi'i scholar, whose name was At-Tabari, but not to be confused with the tafsir scholar Tabari, a different Tabari. He was a Shafi'i. And Ibn Hajar says, this scholar, from this hadith, did you see how short this hadith is? The Prophet found this little boy and he said to him, "Oh, Aba Umayr, what happened to your Nughayr?" That's it. That's the statement of Rasulullah. This scholar came and extracted from that statement 60 lessons. 60 fa'ida. So Ibn Hajar, you know, summarized them and, you know, added his own commentary in some places as well. He added his own commentary. You can refer back to his work to see the long, exhaustive list. Can we extract 60 lessons from, "Oh, Aba Umayr, what did you do with your little Nughayr?" I mean, really, look at the scholastic effort. Imam Tirmidhi mentions a handful. Let's look at what he mentioned. He says, of the benefits of this hadith is, look how the Prophet would joke, would be humorous. You know, the Prophet is like, you know, being funny with him and being jovial and, you know, in a humorous kind of way. Number one. Number two, he said, look how the Prophet gave him a kunya. A kunya is a nickname, but it's a specific type of nickname. A kunya, بخلاف اللقب, a kunya is when you refer to someone as father of so-and-so or mother of so-and-so. You refer to them by a child that they have. So if somebody has a child and their child is named Umar, so we call them, "O father of Umar, O mother of Umar," for example. And that was very common. And it's still practiced until today. Maybe not so much in Western cultures because they rely on the family name a lot. But in Eastern cultures, the family name was attached to a bigger tribe and that would come at the end. But individually, people were known as father of so-and-so, mother of so-and-so. Which also gives some importance to that family structure and the children that they have and whatnot. So this young boy, does he have a son named Umayr? He doesn't. He's too young. He's a little boy. Ghulam. He's a little boy. He doesn't have children. So how is the Prophet calling him, "O father of Umayr"? Aba Umayr. O father of Umayr. He doesn't have a child named Umayr. They said this is a way of also expressing love. And they said it's permissible to give someone a kunya even if they don't have a child by that name. It's permissible. For example, somebody may say, "I would like to have a child one day." "I would like to have a daughter one day and name her Hafsa." So he goes by Abu Hafsa, Hafsa, for example. That child doesn't exist. They haven't come into the world yet. But they can still have that nickname. It's permissible to do that. And some say it's from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Some scholars said it's from the sunnah. Some said it is something, you know, optional. Aisha, another example of that. Aisha, the wife of Rasulullah, she had a kunya. Did Aisha have children? Who said yes? Who is the child of Aisha? Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. Huh? Aisha did not have any children. But she had a kunya. In some of the narrations, she was referred to as Abdullah. And some said that was copying her sister Asma. Her sister Asma bint Abi Bakr was Abdullah. Abdullah who? Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the son of Asma. Legend of the Sahaba. So Aisha had this kunya of mother of Abdullah. She never had Abdullah. Some historians said she had a child, but it was a miscarriage. And this is not correct. This is not true. Aisha did not have any children. So Aisha is another example of someone who had a kunya, who had a nickname of mother of so-and-so, of some child, and she didn't have that child, and that child didn't exist. So it's permissible to have that. Permissible to have that kind of kunya. And permissible to give that kunya to someone else, of course, pending that they accept it and they are happy with that name. The Prophet said, refer to people by the most beloved of names to them. You don't want to call someone by a nickname and they don't like it. Then they may get angry with you and they may not talk to you. So you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So that's one of the benefits, is the permissibility of giving a young child a kunya. They say they don't even have children yet. They're still a child. But it's okay, they can have a kunya. They can have a kunya. Another benefit Imam At-Tirmidhi mentions is it's okay to allow a young child to play with a small bird. Because this young boy is playing with this bird, Nughayr, and the Prophet ﷺ did not chastise him for that, did not scold him for that. The Prophet ﷺ did not instruct that he not be allowed to play with the little birdie. But the Prophet noticed that he played with the bird, and he came and asked him about it later on. Because he had this little bird, a Nughayr, little songbird used to make these noises. And then the Prophet, next time he saw him, he didn't see the bird. Rasulullah was used to seeing the boy with the little bird. What happened to the bird? And what happened was the bird actually died. The little bird actually died. And so the young boy was sad. The little bird he used to play with died. So the Prophet was wanting to joke with him and bring a smile to his face and be kind to this child. Of the benefits of this hadith that our teachers and scholars mentioned is the importance of being aware of the feelings of children. That oftentimes children are ignored, are neglected. And here we have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most important person in the community. His seconds are more valuable than our lifetimes. And yet he has no problem spending these minutes to console and notice that this child is feeling sad. Let me bring some happiness into the life of this child. So the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us to be attentive to children. In many of our gatherings, the children are neglected. And actually, we learn from child psychology that this can have big detrimental effects, behavioral effects, emotional effects, when children are not given that kind of attention. They end up doing, so for example, many people complain from children that are very unruly. This child is giving us a headache. They won't stop causing problems. But when you look, actually, that mischievous behavior is a cry for attention. It's a cry for attention. Because the child is being neglected by those individuals in his life that or her life that they need attention from. Mother and father and family and siblings and whatnot. And when a child does not get the healthy dose of attention from a safe and healthy environment such as the home, it's only a matter of time before they will go and seek it elsewhere. And so here we see the Prophet ﷺ training us and teaching us, be acute, be aware, be sensitive, be willing to give some time to tend to the emotions and the emotional needs of even this young child. Ya Aba Umair, what happened to your Nughayr? Alayhi salatu wasalam. And the benefits of this, can you guys notice anything else? What do you guys think? Ibn Hajar mentioned 60 plus benefits. What can you notice? What can we learn from this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ? Use of the language in a rhyming, nice way. Good. Yes, ma'am. Be humble and deal with the children based on the level they're on. Be gentle with the child. Good. Some people are like, I'm too important. I don't have time for that. That's why they said there was a funny story. Funny and sad at the same time. They said a child came to his father once and said, father, how much is your salary per hour? And he's like, why are you asking me about my salary? He said, please just tell me. So he said, whatever number, I don't know. What number do you guys want? $100 an hour. So he said, okay, can I please have $100? So he said, "What? $100? What are you going to do with $100? I just told you I spent an hour's work and you want to just get $100? What do you need $100 for? He said, give me $100 so that I can give it back to you and have an hour of your time, please. So they say, that kind of need is important. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So very good, a person humbling themselves and making time. And in another hadith which we mentioned in a previous chapter, I don't know which one, is they said the Prophet ﷺ made himself so available for his community that a little girl would come and grab him by the hand and say, come, I gotta show you something. And he doesn't know what she wants to show him. And she is dragging him and pulling him through the alleys and streets of Medina, and the Prophet follows her. Okay, show me what do you want me to see? So the Prophet ﷺ gave that kind of attention to his community members, even if they are young in age. Okay, so we see again the lightness and the light humor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next hadith, حدثنا عباس بن محمد الدوري قال حدثنا علي بن الحسن ابن شقيق قال أنبأنا عبد الله بن المبارك عن أسامة بن زيد عن سعيد المقبري عن أبي هريرة قال قالوا يا رسول الله إنك تداعبنا قال إني لا أقول إلا حقا قال إني لا أقول إلا حقا. This hadith is a sound hasan, it is a sound narration. And in this hadith, on the authority of Abu Huraira, Abu Huraira said that some of the Sahaba said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day, "O Messenger of Allah, sometimes you're teasing us. Sometimes you're joking with us and teasing us. Tuda'ibuna. Sometimes you're like playing games with us and joking. Like, what's this all about, O Messenger of Allah?" And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hey, I only say that which is true." As a disclaimer, meaning I didn't make any lies, I didn't make anything up. And so the ulama, they said that it's permissible for a person to joke, for a person to be humorous, but they should not lie. They should not lie. And that's why, the current state of affairs is that people will lie to tell jokes, to make people laugh, to make money. And you have an entire industry built around that. And that's that's not something acceptable in our deen. So we are encouraged by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to express humor, but do not lie. So some people want so bad to make others laugh that they'll tell lies about it. Remember, Umar, last time we were talking about some people, somebody wants to tell a funny story. So they inject themselves in the story. Hey, you know, one time I was on a plane and this person said, you know, did that actually happen to you? No, it's just something I heard. Why did you say it happened to you? It sounds more funny that way. People do this a lot, you know. So that's not acceptable. It's not permissible to lie just to tell a joke. So they're saying to the Prophet, "You're teasing us, you're joking with us, you're funny with us sometimes." The Prophet ﷺ says, "Yes, but I only say that which is true." The Prophet ﷺ never lied to tell a joke. Never told a lie for the purpose of making people laugh. And that is something evil. That is not something humorous or praiseworthy. If something genuinely is funny, you have to share, and it's, you know, good, it's not something that is lewd or inappropriate, go ahead, let's have a good laugh with one another. But we don't need to make any lies or stretch or alter the truth. So we learn from the Prophet ﷺ that when he was humorous, he maintained his truthfulness. In the next narration, حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال حدثنا خالد بن عبد الله عن حميد عن أنس بن مالك أن رجلا استحمل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إني حاملك على ولد ناقة فقال يا رسول الله ما أصنع بولد الناقة فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم وهل تلد الإبل إلا النوق. So in this narration, which is authentic, which is sahih, Anas ibn Malik says that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him for an animal to ride on. Asked him for the animal to carry a load or to ride on. Can you give me as an animal? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Okay, I will carry you on the child of a camel. I'll carry you on the child of a camel." And so the man is like, "What am I going to do with a child camel?" The man understood that the Prophet ﷺ is going to give him a baby camel, which is not strong enough to carry the weight, the load. You know, it's not strong enough to carry the load. And say, "What am I going to do? مَا أَصْنَعُ بِوَلَدِ النَّاقَةِ That's of no benefit to me, O Messenger of Allah." So the Messenger of Allah said, "Oh, interesting. And do camels give birth to other than children of camels? Obviously, I'm giving you a camel. I didn't say it was a baby camel. I said it was a child of a camel. But where did camels come from? They came out of the clouds, yani? Of course, a camel was born from another camel." So the Prophet ﷺ kind of like used that wording to kind of like play a joke on the guy. The guy's like, "I need a strong animal." The Prophet's like, "I'll give you a child of a camel. What am I going to do with a baby camel?" "Oh, really? Because camels don't give birth to other than camels." So he is joking with him. The Prophet ﷺ said this. It was humorous. So here we have an example of a different kind of humor, which what we call like word puns. You know, like a word pun, right? Where, for example, the wording of something, it's not a lie, but the wording is a little bit mysterious. And it could refer to different things. And so you have to be careful. What exactly do you mean by that wording? It's like a word pun, like smart kind of, witty humor, I think is what we'd call it, right? Witty. So here we have the Prophet ﷺ. Here's an example of how he made that kind of joke. So the Prophet ﷺ sometimes was humorous in statements and sometimes was humorous in action, in behavior. Did the Prophet ﷺ ever pull a prank on someone? Whoa. Now nowadays, when people think about pranks, they think of really disturbing things. And some people have become millionaires on the internet from just pulling pranks on people. And some of these pranks are absolutely deplorable. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, people are laughing. I'm thinking, man, if somebody did this to me, oh man, we'd be in bad shape right now. You know? That's not funny, you know? So let's understand exactly. Remember, we said the Prophet ﷺ, whenever he was funny, he didn't lie. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't hurt or abuse people or their property. Some people took it too far. They want to make a video, a prank, a parody, whatnot. They end up damaging other people's property. Or some people get hurt. Or somebody breaks laws or crimes are committed. That's going too far. That's not funny anymore. That's just dumb, is what it is. So let's look at how the Prophet played jokes in behavior, not just a statement. Okay. In this narration, which is an authentic narration, حدثنا إسحاق بن منصور قال حدثنا عبد الرزاق قال حدثنا معمر عن ثابت عن أنس بن مالك. Okay, let's look at another little nugget of the chain of narration, similar to what we mentioned earlier. Again, just so we can appreciate the meticulous work of the science of hadith. In this narration we have Imam al-Tirmidhi says, he heard from Ishaq ibn Mansur, one, who heard from Abdul Razak. Abdul Razak, this person Abdul Razak, is Sun'ani, which means he is from the city of Sun'a. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers and sisters there and uplift oppression from them. He said, قال حدثنا معمر عن ثابت. Now this guy ثابت, this guy معمر is also from Yemen. He is also from Yemen. This guy ثابت, ثابت البناني, he is from Basra. Or is it Kufa? Now I'm forgetting. Astaghfirullah. Basra. Wallahu a'lam, Basra in Iraq. Okay? And the next one is Anas ibn Malik. Okay? Anas ibn Malik. So, in this chain of narration, the ulama said, you know, this guy Thabit, okay, from this guy Ma'mar, this is a strong chain of narration, and each of them are strong narrators, but they said we have to be careful. Why? Because they said this person Ma'mar, they used to be in Yemen. Remember I said Ma'mar is from Yemen, huh? Then they moved to Basra, to Iraq. They moved to Iraq. And that's where he met this person, Thabit, and heard narrations from them. But they said, Ma'mar, when he narrates from certain people at certain times geographically. Remember in the other person's life, in the other example, we said in a period of their life. Here it's geography. They said when they narrate narrations from Iraq, we have to be a little bit careful. Outside of Iraq, they're authentic, no problems there. Why? They said because when he traveled to Iraq, he left all of his books in Yemen, and so he didn't have any of his books with him, so he started making some minor errors in the narration in Iraq. But if we see that he narrated from someone who's not in Iraq, we're okay, we don't have a problem with that. How meticulous, you know, in the previous, does that make sense? I know it's very technical. Some people may find it dry. But it's interesting to see the amount of effort that was put in. That this narrator is authentic in this period of time in their life. This narrator is authentic in this geographical zone. That's how much the ulama of hadith traced each person in the chain of narration. Okay? So the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ are preserved and protected. And without the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ, there's nothing left of this deen. So let not anyone fool us into thinking we can do without the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An Anas ibn Malik anna rajulan min ahli al-badiyati kana ismuhu Zahiran. Kana ismuhu Zahir, Zahira. Wa kana yahdi ila an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadiyatan min al-badiya. Fayujahhizuhu an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam idha arada an yakhruj. Fa qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam إن زاهرا باديتنا ونحن حاضروه وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يحبه وكان رجلا دميما فأتاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما وهو يبيع متاعه فاحتضنه من خلفه يألو ما ألصق ظهره بصدر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين عرفه. فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فأتاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما وهو يبيع متاعه فاحتضنه من خلفه وهو لا يبصره فقال من هذا أرسلني. فالتفت فعرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعل لا يألو ما ألصق ظهره بصدر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين عرفه. فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من يشتري هذا العبد من يشتري هذا العبد. فقال يا رسول الله إذن والله تجدني كاسدا. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكن عند الله لست بكاسد. أو قال أنت عند الله غال. This is authentic narration. And the narration states that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew a man whose name was Zahir. And this man was not a city dweller. He was not a city dweller. But he lived outside of the city. He was someone of a nomadic lifestyle. And the Prophet loved Zahir so much. And sometimes Zahir would come back from his trips outside, outside of the city of Medina, and he would come back and bring a gift for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Prophet loved Zahir so much, and Zahir was, the narration says, كَانَ رَجُلًا دَمِيمًا. مَا مَعْنَى دَمِيم? What does it mean, دَمِيم? دَمِيم, نعم, huh? على طول كده يعني. دَمِيم, look how nice the ulama are in their books of hadith. They say, الدَمِيم لَيْسَ بِالْجَمِيلِ. Damim, they said someone who's not beautiful. You know? Someone who's not beautiful. So basically, meaning he had some outer appearance that was a little bit, less appealing. Huh? Can we say it like that? Less appealing. Radiallahu anhu, that's how he was in his creation. Just to go in a little tangent here, just for those that appreciate the Arabic language, if you write the word Damim, and you put a dot over the first letter, you get a different word, which is themim. So they said, what's the difference between themim and demim? So they said, themim refers to statements. Demim refers to appearance. So ugly in appearance, ugly in statements. The difference of a dot. So Arabic is cool. that's the point. So basically, the narrator says, "Look, that's just how he looked. يعني he wasn't the handsomest guy in town." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him from a distance one day, and he was in the marketplace selling some stuff that he had, some stuff that he collected from outside of the city. He brought it. He wants to sell it. So the Prophet snuck up behind him, alayhi salatu wasalam. He snuck up behind him and he grabbed him from behind. فاحتضنه. He gave him a bear hug from behind. Huh? And he فاحتضنه من خلفه وهو لا يبصره. And Zahir can't see who it is. Who is that? Who's grabbing me? Imagine someone grabs you from behind like that, and they tuck their head inside, so you can't see who it is. And you're trying to figure out who it is. And Zahir doesn't know. He was caught off guard. And so he starts yelling. He says, أرسلني من هذا أرسلني. Who are you? Let go of me. Let me go. He doesn't know who it is. Then eventually he looked and he saw that it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbing him. So when he saw it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbing him, he stopped wriggling and fighting and he pushed his back to be against the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that his back would be attached to the blessed chest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, that's love. You know? He was so happy to be hugged by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that. And also, the ulama commented on this. They said, the people of al-Badia, the people who live outside of the city, people that do like Zahir, who are traveling outside and they buy and then they barter, you know, they said these people, generally speaking, they come into the city, they're in the marketplace, they're moving and bustling and whatnot. How do you think they smell? They don't live in town. They don't have access to water and showers the way we do. Water is a scarce resource when you're traveling the desert. So usually the people of al-Badia, they come, they're more disheveled, they're rough, they don't smell so good. Because they're nomadic, they're not living in city, they're not city dwellers, right? We were talking about hiking earlier. You go hiking, you're hiking, you know, maybe you go camping. You're not showering, you're walking around, you're moving. You smell a little bit, right? And then you come into a city and people are in town. They woke up in the morning, they took a shower. They got bored in the afternoon, they took another shower. They sprayed some perfume. The point is, this man, you could make the safe assumption that he didn't smell too good, that his clothes were probably not very tidy. And yet the Prophet ﷺ doesn't mind to grab him and be so close to him. The Prophet is not disgusted by him. Oh, you smell so bad. No. But he loves him. That's his job. That's how he is. He'll overlook certain things. And he's someone who doesn't look so pretty. Maybe other people don't consider him a person of value in society. The Prophet ﷺ considers him someone valuable. That he shows to him love and humor in this way. So he grabs him. So then he sees that it's the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, so he knows who it is. So he's comfortable being grabbed by the Prophet ﷺ. Okay, so where's the joke? We said the Prophet prayed a joke on him. Is it just that he snuck up on him? No, that's the little part. And then the Prophet starts yelling out and says, who wants to buy this guy from me? He's for sale. He's for sale. Who wants to buy him? Right, he's joking with him, you know. I've got him right here. I've got him. Who wants to buy him? He's in the marketplace. And everyone's looking. And so Zahir says to the Prophet ﷺ, he says, oh Messenger of Allah, don't bother selling me. I'm really cheap. No one's going to pay you anything good for me. You're not going to get much money out of me, you know. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Zahir, quite the contrary. In the sight of Allah, you are very expensive. وَلَكِنَّكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ غَالٍ. He says, oh Messenger of Allah, why are you going to bother selling me? You're not going to get much out of me. Nobody cares for little old stinky Zahid from the desert. The Prophet said, no, you are expensive. You are valuable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this, you have humor, verbal humor, and physical, you know, humor that the Prophet is hiding. And then eventually Zahid sees who it is. So the ulama said there was sometimes statements and sometimes behavior. Also, you see the Prophet ﷺ is joking with him this way. And then you see the Prophet ﷺ is raising his self-esteem and his morale. You are valuable. Don't let anyone, you yourself, don't allow yourself to believe that you are not valuable. You are valuable to Allah because you are a mu'min, you are a believer. You are a good person. So he raises up his morale and his self-esteem. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. He didn't debase people, didn't bring people down. But this is someone who society would look upon this person and would not consider them much. They don't look too good, and they're not a person of a great respectable profession or a person of property or wealth. This is a guy from the Badia. This is a Bedouin guy. But the Prophet ﷺ turns this joke into an opportunity to strengthen and raise the morale of this believer. That's what the Prophet ﷺ did. Yes. Huh? How is he for sale? He's not for sale. The Prophet ﷺ was joking with him. He was joking with him. He wanted to see. Anybody want to buy him from me? Everybody knows he's not for sale. Yeah. No, Zahir was not for sale. Of course not. The Prophet ﷺ was not trying to sell. And everybody knew. He himself was a seller in the marketplace. He has his booth and he's selling stuff. And the Prophet jumped behind him. Anybody want to buy him? Everybody knows he was joking. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Alayhi salatu wasalam. طيب. One more narration before we wrap up, inshallah. Naam, question, yes. Would that be considered a lie? No, it would not be considered a lie because the Prophet asked a question. Said, who wants to buy him? He didn't say, you know, he is for sale or this is a slave or something like that. Man yashtari, you know. And even the Prophet ﷺ, even when he referred to him as abd, all of us are abd because all of us are abdullah. All of us are servants and slaves of Allah. So even in the wording of the Prophet ﷺ, there was still truthfulness and there was no lying or deceit. And also, another good question. When the Prophet said that, Zahid already saw who it was. Huh? Because the narration says, who is there? Then he saw it was Rasulullah. Then Rasulullah ﷺ said the funny thing that he said. So he knew who it was. طيب, the next narration. قال حدثنا حدثنا عبد بن حميد قال حدثنا مصعب بن المقدام قال حدثنا المبارك عن الحسن قال أنت عجوز قال أتت عجوز إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله أدعو الله أن يدخلني الجنة فقال يا أم فلان إن الجنة لا تدخلها عجوز قال فولت تبكي فقال أخبروها أنها لا تدخلها وهي عجوز أن الله تعالى يقول إنا أنشأناهن إن شاء فجعلناهن أبكارا عربا أترابا. This narration is has some weakness in it. It has some weakness in it because of one of the narrators. So it is considered a narration of weakness, but the weakness is not so much that it cannot be narrated, cannot be mentioned. And the narration states that on the authority of Al-Hasan, he says that an old woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An old woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, an old woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Messenger of Allah, make dua to Allah to enter me into Jannah. Make dua to Allah to enter me into Jannah so that I would be entered into Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O mother of so and so, Fulan, whatever her child's name was, or whatever her kunya was, you know, O so and so, he said, Jannah, old women don't enter Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, old women don't enter Jannah. So the woman started to cry. She started to cry, and then she ran away, she left. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, go tell her quickly. Go and tell her that Jannah, old people don't go into Jannah. And then he mentioned some verses from Surah Al-Waqi'ah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna insha'nahunna insha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the women before they enter Jannah, they are returned back to a younger age. And also there are some other narrations which are also weak, by the way. There is a narration which is often quoted, and it is very, I don't know any basis to it, Wallahu A'lam. They say that people will enter Jannah at the age of Isa. The age of Isa. Anybody heard that before? Yeah, and they say they will be 33 years old. And some say at the age of 30. Wallahu A'lam, I don't know of any authentic narration that says that. Wallahu A'lam. And that's what we got from our teachers, and Allah knows best. There is an authentic narration I will share that states that that the people of Jannah will be like Adam, will be like the image of our Prophet, our father Adam, which is very tall. Which is very tall. So even if somebody is short in stature and height in dunya, when they are entered into Jannah, they will be of a taller stature and height. But as for age specifically, the ayat in Surah Al-Waqi'ah are general. They have some ambiguity. They don't mention a specific age, but it mentions that people will be returned back to a younger state of being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But from this hadith, which we said has some weakness in it, but we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam again was a witty sort of humor, a kind of word pun, that the Prophet didn't say, you're not going into Jannah, because you're an old woman, but rather you won't be going to Jannah as an old woman because you will be younger in age and in your age of strength and maturity and youthfulness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Similar to this also was like a woman who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning her husband. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is your husband? The one that has whiteness in his eye? And so she became scared. She thought, what's wrong with his eye? So she left, or she got scared. And the Prophet ﷺ said, which one of your eye doesn't have whiteness in it? Right? Because you have an eyeball, it has whiteness. Right? So it was like a word pun. It was like a witty kind of humor like that. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Again, what we learn from this is Rasulullah ﷺ was generous with his time, with his emotions, with his humor, with his smile. The Prophet ﷺ never needed to lie to tell a joke or to be jovial or humorous with others. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our role model and our teacher. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to adorn us and beautify us with the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah make us of those who learn his sunnah, his tradition, and follow it and stick to it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who value the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and allow his legacy to live on in our lives. Any questions before we close? On this idea of humor. I think we made some comments last week as well that, you know, in Islam we have to be very careful about humor and comedy and whatnot. There are certain things we don't tolerate. For 2 weeks ago, Afwan, for those of you that were here, we made some extensive commentary on that, which is very important. Yes?
The dwellers of paradise don't
Yeah, so all of the harmful or negative things that happen to a person in dunya don't happen in Jannah. So in terms of a person becoming, so as a person ages, you know, maybe they become a little bit weaker, or maybe, you know, they become weaker in their faculties, or maybe a person, it becomes forgetful, or even a person in dunya, a person has to go use the restroom and whatnot and relieve themselves. All of those things don't happen in Jannah, because Jannah is daru jaza' wa mata', it's the abode of reward and blessing and enjoyment. And none of those, negative things that a person has in dunya, they experience in Jannah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. And it's timeless. There is no concept of time in Jannah. Time extends and goes on, and there is no bounds or limits to it. And that's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, ma'am. Actually, did you? I don't know who had their hand up first. Go ahead. Yes. This book is Shama'ilul Muhammadiyya, the description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the hadith scholar Imam al-Tirmidhi. It has been translated into English, a few different translations. I am not familiar enough with them all to recommend one over the other. Some translations are good and some translations are not, unfortunately. So I know it's been translated, and Allah knows best exactly what the quality of those translations are. So do your due diligence. We have one question here. Yes. Go ahead. Okay. No, I mentioned that. Yes. It's something that is stated, but there is no sound or authentic basis for that. Yeah, that specific age. No, no, go ahead. Yes. Oh no. So in terms of looks, how do we look in Jannah? So there are two authentic things which I can say for sure are authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first I mentioned about having the height of Adam. And another that is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the beauty of Yusuf. And Yusuf is one of the prophets of Allah who was known for his virtue of being very handsome and very beautiful. So the dwellers of Jannah are taller in height and beautiful in appearance. Yes. And there is no, again, let's not understand the amazing blessings of Jannah through the limited experiences of dunya. What do I mean by that? So, for example, in dunya, we have, you know, we're concerned about how I look. Do I look good? Am I well kept? Am I that? In Jannah, there is no concerns that cause you any stress to begin with. You're not worried about that. There's no stress. May Allah make us of dwellers of Jannah. We ask Allah as He gathered us here to gather us in Jannah with the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, there was a question behind. Yes. Allahu alam. I don't know how to answer that. That's an interesting question. Let me write it down so I don't forget. Does that mean day or night? Yeah, that's ambiguous. We cannot deduce from that there is day and night. Allahu alam. I'm going to hold back comment because I don't know. I don't want to delve into it. Allah knows best. But thank you, Abdullah. Interesting question. Yes. No. No. Yeah, the dwellers of Jannah are at constant age. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. No. Yes. Yes. So some spouses said, man, in Jannah too? No, but in Jannah it'll be much better than in dunya. Yes, Umar. Just if we can have a minute so we can hear the question. Lo samahtum. We mentioned it 2 weeks ago in the last session. First of all, is it an authentic narration or not? That is also a question to be posed. But there is truth to the meaning of it. And we mentioned that, generally speaking, things that are permissible, when they are in excess, they have the adverse effect and impact. So we said laughter and humor and joking is something that is permissible as long as it's done, you know, appropriately. But we said that if a person is excessive, where that is always how they are behaving, then that is something that weakens and distracts the heart from having khushu', from having remembrance of Allah and being... Because it is praiseworthy to cry when a person reads Qur'an. It is praiseworthy for a person to express emotions when they're in du'a. So for a person to always be in a state of laughter, this wisdom of killing the heart means that the heart becomes hardened. And so it becomes dry and there is no room for that emotion. And so a person may always be joking and laughing, then when they come to read certain ayat in the Qur'an, which are meant to cause a believer to cry, it doesn't move them. And I'll share with you a true story one time. There were some people who were like that. We were in a gathering and always had something funny to say. Always, you know. To the point of excess, to the point of too much. And I remember we were sitting with one of our teachers and he was mentioning the tafsir of Surah Al-Zalzala. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. And then he said, did you ever, you know, remember or experience an earthquake? And they made a joke about it. They said, yeah, so fun, this and that. So our teacher began to cry. He said, if you're going to laugh or think that an earthquake is a joke when we're reading إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth will shake and quake, you know, to such an extent that it is terrifying, then where have the hearts gone? You know, that everything becomes a joke? Not everything is a joke. So the problem also is that it becomes slippery. When a person jokes about everything, then they are likely to fall into joking about something which is not appropriate to be joked about. Huh? So that's some of the meanings and the wisdoms of that statement. Allah knows best. Allah Akbar. It was reported. Subhanallah. Interesting. Didn't know about that. I don't know. Allahu Alam. I don't know exactly. Stay tuned and benefit from other opportunities. No, he did. He narrated from an Iraqi. But we said some of the ulama said when he was in Iraq, they were more cautious about his narration because they said he left his books in Yemen. When he left Yemen, he became weaker in narration. No. No. It's because of his change in place. Wallahu a'lam. Any other questions before we close? No? Good. Jazakumullah khairan. The brother asked, when will be the next session? The answer is, I don't know. Allahu a'lam. If there is a next session in the near future, fabiha wa ni'ma, alhamdulillah. And if not, then may Allah gather us again to complete what we have begun, inshallah. But at this current time, I don't know exactly when the next one is. I don't think it will be in the next coming months. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.